Football Friday.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Here comes Ralphie Six.
Look at this, loose in the end zone. It's going to be a touchdown for Wyoming.
This is Morrow on the carry. He breaks tackles. He's across midfield. Morrow is off and running. Morrow to the 20, to the 10. And finally tripped up just short of the goal line.
Fumbled again at the 45-yard line. Picked up by Anderson Taylor at the 20, 15, 10. Eats on turf. Touchdown.
Sure they keep it on the ground. Latavius Murray into the end zone. Touchdown. And the Broncos back up on top.
Now, here's Brady Hall.
Football Friday rocking here on this 11th day of November. Some big games coming up, huge games. We'll talk about the local side of that as well. But in the NFL, NCAA, I mean, we've got the playoff standing situation out there. Who's Bama have this weekend? Ole Miss? Is that who it is?
Ole Miss Rebels. Lane Kiffin.
Bama needs to smoke them. He's got to smoke them, Angel.
I don't know. Ole Miss has given us trouble the last couple of years.
Are you starting to find yourself at peace over the fact that Bama's not going to make the playoffs this year?
Yeah. So I mean, that's not something new to me. We've had years where they haven't had a shot. So
you had like 2 years and you didn't make it?
You know, every once in a while, you got to let the other kids have a turn on the swing set. So you let them go. You wait, you know, you go hit puberty, and then you come back next year, you're a lot bigger, and push the kids off the swing again.
You're the worst kind of person on jail. Well,
you can't win them all.
No, but Alabama expects to.
There is a chance.
I mean, there actually still is a chance.
Need LSU to just completely wipe themselves out.
Okay, so who do they have this weekend?
They have at Arkansas, and then I believe home against A&M.
Why is LSU just 3.5-point favorites in that game? In the Arkansas game? Is Arkansas, like, what are they, 500?
Yeah, they were good. They were decent last year. This year have not been so great. Maybe LSU is kind of have a hangover a little bit.
Letdown game after the big go for it, get the 2-point conversion, and you lose to Arkansas?
Possibly.
Oh, that would be crazy. Yeah, I mean, the last weekend was nuts. We had a feeling it was going to be, especially in the when we, you know, look at the playoff watch. But right now, it's Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, and TCU. Tennessee and Oregon are on the outside. LSU still has a chance, but I don't know. I told you I didn't think Oregon was going to get in, but after what happened, it was almost the perfect scenario for Oregon. They blew out their opponent in the Buffs, and the LSU situation happened, and here we are, Oregon sitting at sixth. They have a shot.
Likely they'll play USC in the Pac-12 championship. The winner of that has a good argument to get in the playoff.
So, let's look through here. Michigan has Nebraska. I mean, they're 30.5-point favorites. Georgia, Mississippi State. 16-point favorites. Washington and Oregon play. Oregon is a 12.5-point favorite. Can't drop that one. So, I mean,
looking at that TCU-Texas game.
Yeah?
That's going to be a big matchup if the Horned Frogs can keep their season alive.
Well, Texas is favored in this game.
Yep.
I mean, Texas is the favorite. So, there's an opportunity for the Ducks right there. If Texas beats TCU, you go smoke Washington, because Washington's ranked. They're 25th. If Georgia stumbles against Mississippi State, and if you actually do see LSU struggle or even lose to Arkansas, not that that's who Oregon would have to worry about, but again, it would just set this thing up. Tennessee has Missouri, and then Ohio State, they should probably be okay. They've got Indiana. We got 3 weeks left?
3 or 4 weeks, including conference championship.
Yeah. So there's a few opportunities for the Ducks there. And again, I'm just looking at the Pac-12 team because of the Colorado Buffaloes.
I'm just ready for the 12-team playoff.
Yeah.
Because then I could lose two and still be fine.
Right. And it does, to me, it makes it all more interesting.
Well, if you look at it, so just looking at the rankings, you see Tulane, they're at 17. They're 8-1 on the season, but they're in a playoff spot in this 12-team playoff because they're leading the American Conference.
Yeah, that's it. So look at that. You're better at the conferences than I am with some of the group of five or whatever. What would the playoff situation look like right now if this was it? If we're looking at the college football playoff rankings, obviously Georgia. You know, you're looking at Ohio State and Michigan. I mean,
that will settle itself out. Those two teams play at the end of the year. And then I'd have to look at the Big Ten matchup, but either Ohio State, Michigan out of there. TCU, if they can win the Big 12, they'd be in. Oregon, if they win the Pac-12, would be in. And then Tulane winning the American would be that final automatic bid.
Wow.
And then you would just go on the next top-ranked team. So a team like TCU with one loss could get in. USC with one loss could in. Clemson with one loss. UCLA, Ole Miss with one loss. So there's lots of teams that could still have an opportunity even with a couple weeks left in this new playoff.
So refresh the listeners again, mainly me. What is it? Again, it's going to be the top...
The top six conference champions,
mm-hmm.
and then the next highest ranked six teams.
Which is the thing you love about the top six is it guarantees a group of five champ.
Yes, so in this scenario, Tulane would be guaranteed that sixth spot.
Yeah, so I love that. I think
so,
that's...
Mountain West... There's an opportunity there.
There is an opportunity. There really is.
You just have to be ranked.
And that's the thing. Pretty much, but... And again...
If it came down to an American and a Mountain West team, whichever one's ranked higher would get the bid.
Yeah. So, you know... And again, this was a lousy year for the Mountain West for several reasons. Jay Kaner was down for like 5 weeks, supposed to represent Fresno State. I still think Fresno State is maybe... I don't know if they're up there, but they're in the top 20 if Jay Kaner stays healthy. Yes, I have a man crush on Jay Kaner. I don't care. Yell it to the world. But that would have been a nice opportunity. But the Mountain West, yes, it's there. It is absolutely there. And I think that helps with recruiting, don't you? I mean, if you're CSU or Boise State right now, you mean to tell me that you aren't having an easier time of going to recruits saying, hey, all we got to do is we're going to win our conference, but... Be really freaking good, and we can get into the playoffs. And we need you to help us do that, and you'll be a starter on this team next year. Not a backup or a third string in Alabama. You'll start for us, and we can go win our conference and see if we can get into that top 20. That's kind of the goal. To get into that top 20, there's a good chance that you're one of the higher-ranked conference champs.
Yeah, and even if you maybe don't win the Mountain West and you get finish at 18, there's still a chance there. Just depending on how those last six spots fill out.
Yeah, now it's going to be interesting to see how this one goes. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. I'm excited, though. This should be a fun weekend. I'm excited for college football playoffs in general when this is going to get going. You know, when we expand this thing, it's going to make it so much more fun. Now in the NFL, some big games in the NFL. No doubt about it. I mean, some clunkers too, but I mean, Seattle and Buccaneers, that's a
very interesting
game. That is an interesting game because are the Seahawks for real? Can the Bucs get back into the playoff picture, into the real playoff picture? The Bucs are favorites in this game. I just think that it's going to come to a head at some point with Geno Smith. It can't be this good for that long, right?
I mean, as long as you wear the wristband,
I guess. Pete Carroll, this is on you, man. The whole wristband thing, this is on Pete Carroll.
You just chalk it up to being a grouchy old man.
Yeah, he seems like it now. I don't know.
I'm sure him and Russ have, they don't talk, but I'm sure if they met,
Do you think they text after that?
Do you think he texts his agent? Probably.
Do you think Pete texts his agent or Russ or
hey,
whatever?
Let Russ know.
Sorry.
I was thinking about you.
Sorry, I
you
said
suck.
That. You know, hey, maybe. Do you think they actually really don't like each other?
It's possible the way that whole thing ended there.
Yeah, I don't think they do. Carroll could have ended it by just saying, you know, Geno's wearing a wristband. That's helped him. That's helped his game. Instead, he goes, there was resistance to that before.
Was it resistance from Russ? Was it resistance from Gino? He didn't specify.
That's actually I have not heard that take.
He didn't specify.
Was
who.
There resistance from Gino at first? That's a good take. Or was it Hasselbeck?
Is it Drew Locke?
80 years ago. Vikings-Bills would have been interesting. I suppose it's still interesting.
Well, now it's just, is Josh Allen going to play?
He was
listed as questionable officially today. They're playing games with the elbow in practice. It was wrapped yesterday. It's not wrapped today. He's running off the field from the media. Something weird's going on.
Yeah, that's a weird situation, man. I don't know. Lions, Bears, Jaguars, Chiefs, Browns, Dolphins, Texans, Giants. Colts, Raiders is interesting now. Because
Tank Bowl.
Because it's Saturday. The game's Sunday.
The game is
But it's Saturday. How many of those jokes do you think we can...
Well, today is Friday.
Yeah, right. But, it's, but it is Saturday.
Coaching on Sunday.
But the news is Saturday.
Yes.
And the game is Sunday. Raiders are only 4.5-point favorites.
I had a really hard time picking this game.
I picked the Raiders. That's because... I mean, Clark was saying that the records are pretty good for... I was listening to Clark and the coach. The records are pretty good for first-time coaches when they take over a team like interim or something. But Jeff Saturday is the first one since like the 70s that wasn't a position coach or involved in the organization whatsoever to do this. I mean, imagine what that's like. You're on this team. You're on the coaching staff. And this guy that wasn't with you at the beginning comes in second half of the season and is like, we got to fight hard. We got to want it more. We got to be there 100%. But I've only been here for 50%. But 100%. How does it resonate? Maybe it resonates well. I just can't imagine. It's no question about his football leadership or anything like that. Or if his football knowledge, it's just a question about the leadership.
Yeah. What kind of calls do you make in situations? Do you throw the challenge flag? Do you call timeouts at the right time at Nathaniel Hackett? Lots of stuff for new coaches to experience.
Yeah.
It should be exciting.
It should be. It'll be interesting. We'll get to more of those games coming up. Cody Tucker going to join me from 7220sports.com. He's our Wyoming Cowboys insider. We'll talk to him next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
You ready for bowling, Angel? We're raising turkeys, not like raising them. Like on a farm, but we're raising them for World Food Bank. Yeah.
All right.
World Food Bank today. We're bowling at Highland Park Lanes, and we got teams together. It's going to be a lot of fun. Are you been doing some push-ups? You been stretching it out?
Kind of just loosen up the arms a little bit, get the plenty of pre-workout, get the blood flowing a little bit. We'll do maybe some high knees to get ready to get the blood pumping for this very intense competition. Tanner was feeling very competitive today. Brian, we all know, is a very good bowler, so he was kind of mellow about it. I'm looking to just have a consistent start. I usually start off pretty slow in the warm-up games, and that's usually, in this tournament style, you don't get a warm-up game. You just got to go from the jump.
You got to go.
So I'm going to try to channel in my inner Dangerous, keep working at this bowling game.
Do you have the wristband?
I don't have a wristband. I might have to pick one up. Are there play calls in bowling?
There's play.
That's what the TVs are for.
There's play calling. Yeah. But, it would help if you had the wristband. It'd be faster. Because instead of waiting for the TV, the countdown starts, you got to get to bowling. You can get your play in before waiting for the TV to tell you where to bowl.
Well, I've gotten plenty of strikes without the wristband before, so I think we'll be okay.
Well, there was resistance to it in your last game. Your start of your last game.
Yeah, it was suggested. I said, no, I think I'll be all right. There's only 10 of them down there. I think I can count that high. Got to knock them all down, though.
What a weird thing.
Bowling?
No, well, I love bowling. Just this whole thing. The whole thing with Russ, the wristbands and the high knees. Again, I said it yesterday, but it's just bizarro world, man. There's always something. Always.
You ever done anything dangerous?
Was this like this in Seattle?
His name's Mr. Unlimited.
And that happened in Seattle. That was in Seattle when he did that.
Broncos country, let's ride.
I remember when I first saw the Unlimited thing. I made fun of it. I was like, that's weird. I get what he's doing. It's harmless. And again, still didn't care. It did not keep me up at night. We talked about it that one time. And then, yeah, we started calling him Mr. Unlimited at that point. But was that kind of stuff like all the time? Like, it
might have
like,
been, and you just didn't see it. It wasn't making national media. It wasn't on ESPN all the time. And unfortunately, you make a trade like this, you get, you know, publicity back to the Broncos, and you have this kind of personality at quarterback, you're going to warrant unnecessary attention.
Do you think that this week, let's say this, just go with me. The Broncos win. Just go with me. If they win, do you think we'll have a clean week? Or is there going to be something weird and goofy we're talking about? Like, can we have one week this season that's not about high knees and going for it on fourth down and kicking it or not kicking it, getting the play in, crowd chanting you down, or Subway sandwiches? Can we have one week where there's just like, there's nothing really, kind of calm?
It's tough to say. I think that one week might have just been the bye week, and you kind of use that up.
And you
now
had that
we
week.
Have the wristband gate. Next week, it'll probably be, you know, who knows what else it could be next week.
But even in the bye week, it was the Bradley Chubb trade, you know? It was like...
That's off the field.
Right. But still, it was something. Was it the right move? And Draymond Jones tweeted about it. I mean, there's always something. I'm just like...
Would you rather it be nothing? That no one's talking about the Broncos?
I don't want to be the joke. Like... They always say,
maybe a little late for that.
They always say, you know, bad press is good press. Or what is it? What is it? What is the saying? You're
There's
a journalist.
There's no such thing as bad press.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, there is. Yeah. We're the laughing stock right now. We got kickers, Angel. Kickers making fun of us.
The best kicker.
True, but still, the best kicker is like, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say it, but that, yeah, it's just. So
guy that bowls 200.
Yeah. That's what I'm going for today.
There you go.
Stretch. Get my stretch on. But that's the thing. Like, we are the laughing stock. We're not the worst team in the NFL, but certainly the most talked about as far as negative stuff surrounding this team. And I get it. Russ brings it on himself. I'd just be quiet. If I were him, I wouldn't do a bunch of stuff, but that's his style. And again, I think it's harmless. I don't think it's that big a deal, but apparently it is, and I'm wrong, because it is a big deal. People are talking about it, and then Pete Carroll piles on, knowing what it was. He knew what he was doing. I get you. I hear what you're saying about Geno, but he knew what he was doing. There was resistance. It was that subtle little backhanded thing that he did. You know, oh, yeah, Geno's been really good. He's wearing the wristband. It's really helped him out. You know, there was resistance to that before. Just that. Wait. What is that supposed to mean? Like, if Russ was in that room, he would stop him. What is that supposed to mean?
Well, I mean, now you got pictures of Russ at practice, and the tweet is, oh, he's wearing the wristband. There you go.
And I hate that I'm looking for that. Like, that, I get on. I'm like, ooh, yeah.
Well, I think it's somewhat significant in terms of communicating the plays and, you know, making sure, because we talked about it earlier in the season, Russ didn't have time to make audibles and checks at the line because the play call took too long to get in. If you can shorten that process from Hackett to Russ, just say, hey, column A, row 14. Okay, here's the play call. Boom. Get up at the line. Let's make our checks, and here we go.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like he's going to wear it Sunday. Going to wear it. Unless he's wearing it and things aren't going well, and then suddenly he's like...
I could see him totally just ripping it off.
And then that's the story.
As he's running onto the field for the first time, just, nah.
Nah, I'm not gonna. Gotcha.
Here you go, Nate. And hold on to that for me.
Okay. Before we break here, I got this text from UNC this morning. Just want to remind you guys about the Feed the Children events posted by UNC Athletics. It's taking place now from 1 to 4 in the Y lot on campus at UNC. Free care packages including non-perishable food, household items, and toiletries, as well as toys if kids are involved. So it's open to all veterans, active duty military personnel, and anyone need through this situation here. So you can stop by, check them out again. Parking lot Y there at the University of Northern Colorado. 29 minutes after the hour on, Jell. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show. It is almost time for the border war between the Wyoming Cowboys and the Colorado State Rams. The bronze boot is up for grabs. Joining me now to talk about that game coming up tomorrow afternoon, Cody Tucker of 7220sports.com. Cody, my man. Hey, I'm going to be at that game tomorrow, so I'll get to see you there.
Right on.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
It's been a little bit. I haven't been to as many games as I wanted to, but I'm going to be at this one, you know, because it's two teams that I care about that don't care about each other. So it'll be very interesting.
This has always been like a birthday and Christmas all rolled into one, but it can be a really good Christmas or a really bad one.
Well, and the Cowboys, here we are. I just keep thinking about it, you know. You don't know what they have. Are they going to be any good? I don't know. And then our guy, Cody Tucker, says, you know, Craig Bull has a way of building teams out from nothing that we don't talk about, we don't think is going to do anything. Here they sit at 6-3, 4-1 in the conference on their side of things. Right, they're a game behind Boise State, and they play Boise State coming up. So huge, huge opportunities in front of the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't get over it. I keep posing the question on my own radio show, what if I told you, you know,
right,
the Cowboys would be here right now? And, you know, obviously they're not going to look past this one. There's no way, no how. But, man, if they can get past this one, a showdown with Boise State in War Memorial Stadium on the 19th, it's just, it's all setting up, man. They just, you know, the pins are set up. Got to knock them down. And it all starts with Colorado State. And, of course, these guys are laser-focused. And when you have 21 guys on your roster from Colorado, not to mention, what, 11 from Wyoming, there won't be any looking past this one.
Yeah, and again, that's the thing about these rivalry games, right? It's hard to look past it. Even though CSU has struggled, Wyoming knows. I mean, they can't. They don't want to be the team that CSU starts to figure it out on. I mean, CSU's had a couple of glimmers, I suppose, the last few weeks. I think they moved the ball against San Jose State pretty well. Couldn't score in the red zone. But is that the fear with on the Cowboys side? Is that maybe this is the week that this offense finally clicks for Colorado State?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's always a fear, especially down there. You get the momentum going. You got the home crowd on your side. I think we saw that, minus the home crowd part, in 2020 when, you know, CSU jumped out to a 14-0 lead just like that, a pick six, a strip sack. Next thing you know, McBride's in the end zone. It's 14-0 in the blink of an eye. So they just started rolling downhill, and the Cowboys could never overcome that. And the Cowboys this year have showed they can overcome that. They were down by double digits at New Mexico and earlier in the season against Tulsa and 2 weeks ago at Hawaii. And it's weird, you know, we talk about this a lot up here. You know, you watch these games and you go, oh, my God, New Mexico just went up and down the field on them twice. It's 14-0 in the blink of an eye, but you're not worried. You just don't have that worry anymore because this team's so young. It's like they don't even know better. They're like, well, let's just keep chipping away and we'll figure it out.
And I think you kind of talked about that. Like, this team maybe doesn't realize the moments. They don't realize how big a moment might be or how big they're down. Like, oh, we're supposed to be down about this. We're supposed to not have that will to come back. And that has been pretty good for the most part for this Cowboys team. So we'll see what happens. I would imagine it's weird. I didn't think we'd be saying this about this game. On Wyoming's side, I thought Titus Wynn, yeah, we'll talk about him. But we're talking about a battle between two solid running backs, Titus Wynn and CSU's Avery Morrow. I didn't think we would be highlighting a running back for the Rams at this point in the season.
No, and let's give some credit to Jay Norvell, right? I mean, he came in with this Ford air raid stuff, and rightfully so. Matt Mummy, you know where he comes from, and they should have been churching that stuff up, but it hasn't transpired because you can't be an air raid team when you give up 43 sacks in 9 games. And you know, they've had to adjust. And Avery Morrow, man, he is he's just – the only way to put it, he's just damn good, man. He's got balance. He breaks tackles. He busts big ones. If I was looking today, Brady, it was striking. CSU has lost 300 yards in quarterback sacks this year. And, you know, it's just phenomenal. That guy, you know, last week they only finished with, what, 86 rushing yards or something, and Avery Morrow's over the 100-yard mark.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I'm blown away by it. I've been so shocked, you know, when he had that first, what was it, against Nevada, I think, so his old team, and he's, like, going off, and I'm thinking, oh, that was kind of a, you know, a unique little thing that probably will never happen again, and then he does it three or four more times, and you're going, okay, Fort Air Raid has a running back now.
Yeah, and Norvell realized, man, we obviously cannot protect our passers, so we're going to have to run the ball. So, you know, credit to him that he made this adjustment, and credit to him because coaches have such inflated egos half the time that, you know, we're air raid, period. And we're going to keep trying to put this, you know, square block in a round hole, and we're going to do it till we die. And he realized that that is not working, and it won't work if your quarterback's picking himself up off the ground every play.
Yeah, no question about it. You're exactly right, and I have. You know, it's funny because you talk about Jay Norvell. He's kind of molded how he needed to do things this year. You said it best all season that Craig Bowles has changed not really the X's and O's style, but he's kind of changed that personal philosophy with these guys. So I guess hats off to both of these coaches finding ways to kind of change throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, I didn't know if we could teach the old dog new tricks up here, especially. You know, Jay Norvell seems a little more youthful than Craig sometimes, but Craig has been youthful this year, and he's been fun, and he's been a real pleasure to be around. And the thing is, too, is they're still doing it the Craig Bull way. They are running the ball, and they're playing sound defense, and that's what they do. You know, I was talking to Frank Crum off the record a little bit on Monday, and I was like, what is the biggest difference here, man? You know, everybody's trying to put their finger on it. And he said, Andrew Peasley. He just brings a calming presence. And, you know, there's games that he has throwing-wise that are just scary bad sometimes. But then, you know, he makes up for it on the ground. But overall, he makes up for it with his demeanor and his leadership and his moxie. And he just brings a different element to this team, and they really rallied around him. I mean, this is a guy who was at rival Utah State like 8 months ago. So he is definitely the leader of this team, and Frank Crum, who's also a leader on this team, made it crystal clear that he is the difference.
Yeah, and that's what we were, you know, at the beginning of the season. Again, we looked at Peasley, and we wondered what kind of quarterback was he going to be, and, you know, just quietly putting together a pretty nice season. We know that they really want to, you know, get this offense going with Titus Wynn, but he has been, I don't know if it's fair to say a pleasant surprise, but after that first game of the season, we wondered just how good he was going to be, and then you look at that first game of the season and who they went up against. Yeah, it's been a nice surprise for Cowboys fans.
No, it has. And it's all the stuff he does behind the scenes. It's the intangible stuff more so than it is even the stuff on the field. And he had 9 touchdown passes before that Hawaii game, and that was the most in the Mountain West Conference, as modest as that is. But, you know, what's really helping him and really helping his transition is not only Titus Wynn, who still has more rushing yards than Avery Morrow, shockingly, even though Titus has missed the equivalent of about 2.5 games this year with injuries. But DQ James, man, what a surprise he's been. The 5'7", 172-pound bulldog, man, he can flat fly. He looks just like Barry Sanders. He is so big in the thighs and the butt, and he's just he's tough too, man. For only 5'7", he will truck you as well. So he's rushed for over 100 yards the last 2 weeks, and he's doing it the pretty way, too. 12 yards per carry.
Wow, 12 yards per carry. That's insanity, man. Cody Tucker joining us from 7220sports.com, our Wyoming Cowboys insider. I love this trophy. I love the history of it. I love the story of it, the bronze boot. And I know it's a special trophy for both sides, both fan bases. I think that's the one thing they can agree on is they really love this trophy.
Oh, it's so great, and it's so cool that both schools got together and refurbished it, and it just looks amazing. And I tell you what, Brady, I don't tell a lot of people this, even though you can see it. I actually have the bronze boot tattooed on my arm. It's
nice.
It's an important thing,
yeah.
Especially up here. You know, it's always Wyoming against the world, it feels like. And you know, these Colorado kids that come up here and they feel like they're shunned, and CSU didn't give them a look, and, man, they want this game so badly. You know, we saw it with Andrew Wingert, what, 4 times in a row? He he wanted CSU badly. So there's a lot of kids like that on this roster, and there always is. And I hate to say it for CSU fans, but I think it's pretty safe to say Wyoming has wanted it more over the last decade. And I think CSU puts the CU game in such high esteem, and especially being the first game of the year. And when you get blasted by CU, yeah, that's got to hurt your psyche the rest of the way, right? And, you know, for Wyoming, this is the big one.
Yeah, no question. And, I mean, if you look back the last few years, it might certainly seem that way, too. The Rams got the 2020 year, but if there ever was a year to throw out, I suppose that would be the one.
and you hate to say that because, you know, it was Trey McBride's first time winning it, and what a great player he was. And that CSU team was really good that night. And I know nobody has anything nice to say about Adazio, but I thought he maybe was getting ready to turn the corner a little bit there, and it just never materialized.
Yeah, never did. And we'll see if Jay Norvell fares better when it comes to the rivalries. Cody, any predictions for us? The Cowboys are 8.5-point favorites. Do they cover that?
I think so, Brady. And what I do think is I think CSU is going to give them a real, you know, a real test in the beginning. I think they're going to throw a couple of punches for sure and then get the crowd behind them a little bit. But I just think the Cowboys can get going downhill so fast. And before San Jose State racked up 9 sacks last week, Wyoming was actually the leading team in the Mountain West in that category. So you have to think that they're going to pin their ears back a little bit and come after Clay Millen if Clay Millen's own player doesn't hurt him first.
You beat me to it.
I guess I can see that coming into play, but I just think the Cowboys are going to be too much at the end, and the Cowboys have too much riding on this one.
Clay's been running around a lot more. It's funny because I do a show with him, and I was like, Clay, you're actually like you're a much better athlete than I thought. And he, and of course, yeah, he's like, thanks for that. He's like, yeah, but I don't want to be. He's like, I want to throw the ball. I do not want to run. Trust me. I was like, you're good at it though. But
That play reminded me of Brady was the movie Necessary Roughness when they put the bat
yes.
up. And was like, blow the whistle.
Well, it has sucked too for that offensive lineman. I felt so bad because he's trying to make a play. He's trying to get in front of Clay and block a guy. He hits him and he just puts his hands on his head like, he just screwed up. And I was thinking, I'm like, if I played college football, I would be that guy every play, running around, no idea where I'm going, running into my own teammates, and then I feel bad about it at the end.
Yeah, what a tough year for that offensive line, man. The numbers are just scary bad. But, you know, like Wyoming, they're really young. They just haven't put it together yet. So hopefully for Wyoming fans, that doesn't start on Saturday.
We shall see, my friend. Cody, I'm looking forward to this game. I'm planning on seeing you out there tomorrow at some point. Tomorrow at some point.
Yep, absolutely, man. Hey, thank you as always for having me on. Appreciate you, Brady.
Yeah, we appreciate you too, man. Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. He likes the Cowboys to win this thing. He likes the Cowboys to cover this thing, which isn't a tall task. I mean, it's a little more than a touchdown. So can the Cowboys do it? I'll give you my picks on the other side. I'm sitting at, 20, where is it? Oh, there it is. I'm 24-26 on the year, 2 games under .500. Because Wyoming and CSU play this weekend, I have 5 games to choose from. So certainly plenty of real estate there for me to get over the 500 mark. We'll see if I can do it. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
It's time to make our picks here, Brady Hall.
All right, welcome back into the show. This is how we end the week. This is how we end Football Friday each and every week. 24-26 on Gel. It's not like an awful record. It's not playoffs for me. I got to get over that 500 mark. That's what this weekend is about. So, here we go. We take a look. We got a lot more teams in action this week to pick from. I'll go here first since they play tonight. CU at USC. Every time I have picked CU to cover, they have failed me. Every time I have picked them not to cover, I won. So I'm going to just try to stay on that. On that side of things, USC is much better. They are 34.5 point favorites. I hate that, but I mean, it could be 21-0 at the start at the end of the first quarter, USC. So then it goes, oh, that's pretty realistic. I think CU does not cover this weekend. Northern Arizona at UNC. Now, typically Northern Arizona, it's kind of a kryptonite here in Greeley. They've struggled in Greeley against the University of Northern Colorado. Yeah, you know, I wanted to take UNC at first, but then I'm seeing how Northern Arizona, like, they played Montana State so well. What does that mean? They had a really good performance against Montana State, one of the top teams. So because of that, I look at it and say Northern Arizona is playing with a little more moxie, a little more confidence. I think they get the win this weekend over the UNC Bears. New Mexico at Air Force. Falcons are 21.5 point favorites. That's tough. I mean, Air Force, do they cover those kind of spreads? Probably not. But New Mexico is really freaking bad. They're just really, really bad. So I do think that Air Force will cover that 21.5 this weekend. Air Force will cover that against New Mexico. Wyoming at Colorado State. The Rams are 8.5 point underdogs in this game. I saw, if I wouldn't have seen what I witnessed against San Jose State with an offense that's actually moving the ball up and down the field, I would have easily said Wyoming is going to win and cover this thing. I keep hearing what Matt Mummy, the offensive coordinator, told Kevin Lytle that by week 6, 7, 8, we start to see this four air raid take hold. We started to see it take hold last week. Does it really take a firm grip this weekend against a tough defense in Wyoming? Not only do I like CSU to cover, I like them to win. I'm taking the Rams to win this game against Wyoming. I'll be there, so that'll be probably some bad luck. Denver at Tennessee. I am contractually obligated to pick the Tennessee Titans to win, but not to cover. I can say the Broncos can cover 3 points.
That's a close cover.
Might as well just go all in on Tennessee, right? So I'm contractually obligated to take the Tennessee Titans to beat the Broncos this weekend. Now, the question is, would I pick the Broncos if I wasn't contractually obligated? I am contractually obligated, Angel. I can't say the other way around. Can't even tell you the what ifs. They don't exist in this world that we live in.
Derrick Henry rushing yards over under 120.
With all the injuries mounting up for Denver. Let me go under 120, but over 110. Right in that sweet spot.
He's going to get 119.
He's going to get 119.
Yeah, probably more.
All right, man. This has been a fun week of shows. I love it. We get to do so many unique things on this program. And we appreciate the Hooligans always sticking around to support us. Now, on Chell, we bowl. Good night, Northern Colorado.